If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, starting with verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold. And shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I think there's something that is very natural about the question that Peter asked here in this, our text, and yet it's conspicuously awful when you stop and you think about the question that Peter did ask. He had just witnessed the departure of the rich young ruler when Jesus told him to go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. Suddenly Peter begins to compare himself with this departing young man and began to contrast himself with this rich young ruler. Of him, it was said that he was unwilling to forsake his possessions. Peter, on the other hand, said, Lord, we've left everything. And if there's any reward, if there's any justice in following you, then we should be generously compensated. But I ask you this morning, how many of you would not like to know and enjoy the privileges that these disciples enjoyed? You see, to be able to walk with Jesus 24/7 for 3 years, to be able to see his incomparable miracles, and to listen to his tremendous messages during that time. It would bring joy to our hearts to be able to be in the presence of the Lord for those 3 years. And I think it would more than compensate for the sacrifice that we had made in ministry. But the Bible tells us that Peter was thinking only about the material things at this particular time. It's not the only time that Jesus talked about this contrast. He spoke of the bread of life from heaven, and the disciples and the followers of the Lord, they thought only of the loaves and the fishes. Jesus spoke of living waters that could fill and overflow the soul of a man, and they thought about ordinary water that is able to quench the thirst. But I want to remind you that no person who sacrifices and works for the Lord will go unrewarded. Amen. The tiny seed of sacrifice will germinate to produce a great harvest in the end time. You see, the man or the woman who invests their time in the ministry of extending and building the kingdom of Almighty God, the Bible said, will be rewarded 100-fold. Amen. Now, what would you think about a stockbroker that came to you and said, I can guarantee you dollar for dollar 100-fold? He couldn't take care of all the business. It's just unheard of. It's not real. But the Lord said, I'll pay you back 100-fold. Well, notice surprises in this particular text. The results of overconfidence. Now, confidence is a very valuable asset for anyone attempting to extend the kingdom of Almighty God. In fact, we might call this confidence faith. Yet too much confidence leading to apathy can be extremely dangerous and deadly. You see, when a man or a woman feels that they have done enough, and that God should assume responsibility for all that remains, they're walking down a deadly and dangerous road. You remember the great baseball theologian by the name of Yogi Berra? He said, it ain't over till it's over. That simply says when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And he said, there's no place to quit. You might be down 7 runs in the 9th inning, but you keep on battling that you might be able to win. Well, the Apostle Paul at the end of his life said, I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. Won't that be a wonderful day when we come to the place that we can say, I've finished the course. I've run the race. I've crossed the finish line. I've finished the course. Paul knew that it was going to be difficult at times. And he knew that it wouldn't always be easy to serve the Lord, but he knew it paid great dividends. It said of the Galatian Christians, it was said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Well, there's a lot of folks that are in the church that are just about to quit. They're weary in well-doing. You know, it ought to be a joy to be able to serve the Lord. It ought to be a joy to be able to sing His praises and come into His presence with thanksgiving and bow before Him and say, Lord, I love You, and worship Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, what a privilege. But the Bible said that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. There's a lot of folks that have the world on their mind instead of Christ. And remember Jesus in John chapter 6, when he laid out the terms of discipleship. And all of those folks that were following him, looking for the loaves and the fishes, they turned away and turned around and departed from him, and they followed him no more, the Bible said. You know, Jesus turned to his disciples. He said, will you also go away? Are you going to quit me too? You see, there may be a lot of folks in the last days, and the Bible says there'll be a departure from the faith, and the hearts of many will wax cold to where they just go through the motions. Brethren, it's real. And it ought to be a joy to our soul to be able to come into the presence of a holy God and bow down before Him and say, oh, Lord God, I worship You and I love You. Amen. And I thank You for salvation. Well, sorrow, the remembrance of overindulgence. You know, before I leave that other point, overconfidence can cause folks to slack up. You know, the Bible does say that not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Now, I've been a sports enthusiast all of my life, and I like track. I've seen some great runners on television trying to finish the race first. And I've seen a few thinking they had the race won and they slacked off that last 50 yards of the track, only to be overcome and passed by an opponent. You see, once you slow down in a race, you can't just pick it right back up where you were. And so it's important for us to know that one of these days we're going to stand before God. And I do want to say that there will be some major surprises when folks stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, there's a lot of famous preachers and famous Christians. They get a lot of notoriety. And there's a lot of us that maybe the world never miss when we're gone. But he said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. You see, I really believe that God, who knows the hearts and he understands what we're doing, that some of those will take a back seat to those that are the little people of this world. What does the Lord ask for? Be faithful. Just be faithful. And so that just reminds us that all of us, if we're just faithful, God will reward and honor us with eternal life. But many that are first shall be last. The eternal rewards given by God must be earned. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation cannot be earned. It's a step of faith. The grace of God is extended, and by faith we accept it, and we become God's child. But we are to serve, and we are accountable for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's possible, I think sometimes, for folks to be overindulgent in their use of time, to where that we gratify self, and we're more concerned about doing what we want to do and the flesh wants to do than we are about spiritual things. And there's nothing wrong with doing some things that gratify self, but that can't be the consuming passion of our soul. You see, the consuming passion of our soul ought to be that I might use my time and I might use all that God has given at my disposal in order to make a difference for the cause of Christ, to advance his cause and his kingdom. Time, pleasure. You know, people today are so concerned about pleasure and having a good time. And there's nothing wrong with having a good time. But you can't be letting that pleasure come first in your life. The most important thing of all is serving the Lord. Paul knew he went through hardships. He went through times of being thrown in jail. What would you think about somebody that sent in his resume to the church and he said, I've been in jail 5 times. They've run me out of town. They stoned me. Well, you'd say, we don't want that guy. Man, we want somebody that's upstanding, you know, that wears his tie and he looks good, you know. Amen. But, you know, God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to put him first. And it's not all about the material, the food, the drink, and all of this that gratifies this old body. But it's about the spiritual. Anything that becomes more important than doing the will of God should always be suspect. To the church of Smyrna, the Lord said, be thou faithful. How long? He says, unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Be thou faithful. How long? Unto death. You don't quit. You just keep on going. And when you come to the end of life's journey and you breathe that last breath and the Lord said, it's enough. That's when you quit. to the church of Philadelphia, the Lord sent a warning saying, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." In other words, he said, don't let go. That tells me there's something we've got to do. We can't just sit down in the pew and coast and think that everything is going to turn out right. We're to serve God. We're to be faithful. We're to serve God with all of our heart. One of these days we'll stand before him if we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We need to complete what we have started. Sickness or death, or sickness or old age, sometimes will terminate our ability to serve like we used to. But never let it be said that we allowed anything else to hinder us from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That other pursuits and other attractions, we did not let them dim our vision for the cause of Christ and for the will of God to be done within our life. You know, I like the idea, dare to be a champion. Dare to be a champion. In other words, be a winner. How many of you like to lose? None of us do. You know, I hate to lose. I beat Virginia in a few games that we play. And I taught her how to play, and she beat me a few times. But I'd come back and beat her. And then when I beat her the last time, I'd quit. I'd tell her, "It's time to go to bed." But you know, everybody likes to win. But you see, the most important thing is not whether you win or lose, but it's how you play the game in the Christian life. How you play the game. God help us to be faithful. And then there's satisfaction, the reward of overwork. There's a paradox given here. The last shall be first, the first shall be last. When the Lord had healed a man of dropsy in the home of a chief Pharisee, he related this parable. He said, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Humility, the most commendable of all the qualities. The Bible says God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. God's way of estimating the worth of a man's effort is just that you be faithful. I'll never forget. In fact, it was a deacon, Brother Allen. Some of you may have remembered him over at the Freeville Baptist Church, Brother Leonard Crowder, pastor, and he came to me one day and he told me this, and I thought at the time, that doesn't sound right. But he told me, he said, "Preacher, you know, I've been around for a long time and I've determined that there are preachers of 50, there are preachers of 100, there's preachers of 150, and so on up the ladder." And I thought, well, that doesn't sound right. Anybody that's worth his salt's going to get out there and work hard. But you know what? What he was telling me is God wants us just to be faithful. And that's what he's going to judge us on, just being faithful. And if all you ever do is to pastor 50 and you're faithful, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, that's the bottom line. Everything else comes to the place in our life that everything else, it just doesn't really matter that much. As long as we're faithful to the Lord, and we're faithful to the end. We just keep on going and serving and rejoicing and doing the will of God every day, thinking this is a good day for the Lord to come. And one of these days we're going to get up and he's coming. One of these days he'll split the eastern sky. One of these days the angel will cry that time will be no more. One of these days. Life down here is going to come to a screeching halt. And there won't be any second chances for folks that haven't given their life to the Lord. No second chances. You know, that's why it's so important in church that we have such a spiritual atmosphere that the sinner feels at liberty to walk down the aisle and give their life to the Lord. That's why it's so important that we, as God's people, go out and tell them, bring them in, that they might be saved. It's the will of God that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves everybody. You know, I listened to the news this morning, and it talked about, calling all the Muslims together to go against America, you know, and Christian values. God loves them just like he loves us. And I don't understand that, you know, how he could love them like that. But he does. And he tells us we're to love as he loves. So we've got to love them. We may not be able to win all of them, but we can win some of them. And I think the time to win them is short. Will you bow with me for prayer?